Our next scripture reading is Hebrews 10, verses 11 through 18. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice he is made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin." May God bless the reading of his word.
Please pray with me. Lord God, we do thank you for your written word. We thank you for its truth and for its teaching. We thank you for its encouragement and inspiration. And I pray that your spirit would be upon us and within us as we study this passage from Hebrews this morning. For your glory we pray. Amen. A group of tourists was visiting a picturesque village, and they walked by an old man who was sitting beside a fence. In a rather patronizing way, one tourist asked him, "Were any great men born in this village?" And the old man simply replied, "Nope, only babies are born here." That sermon illustration further explains that every person who is a born-again believer starts life as a baby in Christ. Whether that new convert is 6 or 60, that person is still a new Christian and needs to grow in the Lord. God intends for us to grow and mature so that we can be a positive influence in the lives of others. Now, whenever a believer considers the reality of being born again, the truth of Jesus' encounter with Nicodemus might come to mind. From John chapter 3. "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him.' In reply, Jesus declared, 'I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again.' 'How can a man be born when he is old?' Nicodemus asked. 'Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born.' And Jesus answered, 'I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again.'" For the purpose of this morning, being born again can be described as walking with God, living a spiritual, spirit-based, spirit-filled life. In the Bible passage from Hebrews 10, 11 through 18, the author is speaking about spirituality, how believers are saved through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. As we look at these verses from Hebrews, I want us to back up one verse from what Kim has read for us, and I want us to look at Hebrews 10, verse 10. One of the realities of selecting sermon scriptures weeks ago and creating the outline and the PowerPoint on Tuesday, then the rest of the week goes by and you do further study and more things come to mind as you read and you study and things jump out at you. So we're going back one verse to verse 10, which says, "And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That phrase, by that will, it's referring to the will of God. It was God's will that Jesus was crucified on the cross. It was God's will that through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, believers are made holy. In the use of the phrase made holy, the writer speaks of a process that produces maturity of faith, resulting in a fully developed Christian life. The Apostle Paul, in his many letters, he describes how the believer grows progressively in Christian qualities and Christian character, resulting in being set apart for God. Here in Hebrews, the author, who is unknown, the author talks of a sanctification that is brought about by the death of Christ. It is in, as verse 10 states, it is the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ that saves once for all. It's one offering, that of the body of Jesus Christ, once made, that on the cross of Calvary, one offering, once made for all people of all times. Verse 10 sets up the passage of our morning study, verses 11 through 18. The writer of Hebrews is addressed in the Old Testament system of laws and sacrifices. Laws for pointing out the sin and sacrifices for offering forgiveness. The author writes of the need for repeated sacrifices. Sacrifices offered year after year. But the guilt of the people's sin remained. In verse 11, it is shared how priests kept offering sacrifices that can never take sins away. Priests cannot remove sin. In verse 12, the priest is mentioned, the one priest who had offered for all time one sacrifice for all sin. And we know that priest to be Jesus Christ himself. And having offered his one sacrifice, his death on the cross, this priest sat down at the right hand of God. Only the sacrifice of Christ, Jesus Christ himself, only his sacrifice brought release from the guilt of sin. And since that time, in verse 13, since that time, the priest waits. He waits. Jesus Christ sits and he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. The contrast between the Old Testament priests and the priesthood of Jesus Christ is made very clear through the consideration of their posture. The priests stand. They stand and they minister day by day, day after day. Jesus made a sacrifice, and then he sat down. His sacrifice was final, and then he sat down because his work was done. One offering, once made, for all people of all times. Sitting is the posture of rest, not of work. I learned that lesson of posture from my brother. It was in that time when I took 2 years off of my college years, and for one of those years, my brother got me a job working for the construction company where he worked in the office, and I was a general laborer for that year. It's where I started to really learn about construction in general. But one particular lesson from that year came to mind as I read Hebrews this week. This lesson about standing for work and sitting for rest. One day at a job site, my brother showed up, as he was likely to do, and he found me sitting down while I was working. And he said, "Eric, get up." I said, "What?" And he goes, "You never know when the boss is coming by. You never know when the homeowner is going to stop by, and they're going to see you sitting down thinking that you are taking it easy, that you're not working, that you're lazy." That lesson was drilled into me. When you are standing or kneeling, you're at work. When you are sitting, you are at rest. When Jesus finished his work, the work of his sacrifice, what did he do? He sat down at the right hand of God. And Christ remains seated on that throne.
Depend on this meal for your lives and those of you for whom this is a strange thing. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. You are now invited to share at his table.
In the sacrament of communion, we remember that on that night in which Jesus was betrayed. He had first gathered in the upper room with his disciples. And while they were at the table celebrating the Passover meal, Jesus took bread. And after giving thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you."
In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and drink. This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me."
Let's pray. Lord, we pray your blessing upon this sacrament. We come to you today in grateful remembrance of what the Lord Jesus Christ achieved on Calvary's cross for all of us, for all people, when he shed his precious blood on the cross to pay the enormous price of our sin, and he became a ransom for many. We pray that you would bless these elements of faith and that you would bless all who receive. In the name of Christ, amen. I invite our servers to come forward. Never mind, sit back down. We got to sing a hymn first.
Oh, I thought for a minute I was having some more white spots. Okay. Let us sing our communion hymn. It is in remembrance. It is found on page number 322 of your red hymnals for those of you who wish to follow along there.
Thank you.
Now I invite the servants to come forward, for all things are ready. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven, broken for you. Remembering him, take and eat.
The blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. In remembrance of him, take and drink. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gift to commune together. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his body and blood for the sake of our forgiveness. May this gift renew us and keep us this week going forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing song is called Christ is Enough. And then there'll be the spoken benediction, followed by the benediction and song, which will be the chorus of Christ is Enough. Please stand as you're able.
May the love and grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ keep you and be with you this week as you walk with him. Amen.